anniversaries do not get much bigger than the one this weekend. The shot heard round the world was fired on June 28, 1914, 100 years ago. The assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand triggered World War I and changed the course of the 20th century. But it begins with a story that sounds almost like farce. NPR's Ari Shapiro has this tale from Sarajevo of how the assassination unfolded.
You don't have to hunt around for the spot where it all took place. A big purple banner announces it in white capital letters. The street corner that started the 20th century. Today, people take photos. Streetcars rumble by.
100 years ago, the street would have looked almost identical, with the exception that on the north side of the street, there would have been trees.
This is Dr. James Lyon, an expert in Balkan history and our assassination tour guide. It's an unlikely story at every turn, beginning with the almost total lack of security. At the time, Sarajevo had a 200-man police force.
And approximately half or slightly less than half of the police force had turned out that day to provide security for the visit of the crown prince of the entire empire. And the army was not turned out at all.
Why not?
Well, the official reason was that the army had been out on maneuvers for the previous 2 days. Their uniforms were muddy and dirty, and they were not presentable.
Also, the folks in charge decided that it was a good idea to publish the motorcade route in advance. So the path was crowded with people. Bunting, flags, and brightly colored carpets hung out the windows, and any would-be assassins knew exactly where to stand. There were 7 of them along the parade route, carrying bombs and guns. Most chickened out altogether. Nedeljko Čabrinović was one exception. He threw a bomb and missed, wounding an official in the motorcade behind Archduke Ferdinand.
Now today, if you would have something like that happen, the vehicles would go racing as fast as they could away from that scene. However, Franz Ferdinand ordered the driver to stop. He got out, walked back to inspect the damage and the wounded people in that fourth vehicle.
Wait, somebody had just attempted his life. A bomb had been thrown at his car, and he gets out and goes and checks on the guy who got hit?
This was European nobility at the turn of the century.
Meanwhile, Čabrinović, who threw the bomb, swallows some poison and jumps into the river below.
At that time, it would probably have been about 6 inches deep. He jumped. You can see the drop is probably 15 feet. And he sprained his ankles and was unable to move.
The poison didn't work either. It just made him sick. The consequences of this day are hard to overstate. The events triggered a global war in which tens of millions of people died. But when you look at the assassination on its own, it seems almost farcical.
It would be a comic tragedy of errors, and it would have made for a good Peter Sellers film.
So the Archduke arrives at City Hall absolutely furious. The mayor delivers some totally inappropriate remarks that were written before the assassination attempt. The Archduke snaps, "What kind of welcome is this? I'm being met by bombs." Then Ferdinand wipes the blood off his prepared speech and addresses the crowd. And then the heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne gets back into his motorcade with his wife Sophie. They have decided to visit the hospital to see the people who were wounded in the bomb attack. Except, as James Lyon explains,
no one told the driver.
So at that fateful intersection, the car was supposed to go straight, but it turned right. A general in the motorcade shouted, "You're going the wrong way." And the driver stopped the car right in front of assassin number 7.
Gavrilo Princip, who had missed his chance the first time, was standing on the sidewalk literally 4 feet away from the car.
At the only place on the route where the car stopped.
That is correct. And he stepped forward, fired 2 shots. One hit Sophie, the other hit Franz Ferdinand.
Both shots were fatal. As they lay dying in the car, Ferdinand pleaded with his wife, "Stay alive, Sophie, for the sake of the children." The term assassins calls to mind 007 or Mission Impossible, dashing Hollywood archetypes. In the photos at the museum on this corner, the would-be killers hardly look dashing. They're dirty, sickly, skinny.
2 of the 7 people lying in wait were students. The other 5 were either professional revolutionaries or people who were unemployed or people who were agitating for national causes.
They all seem to have had slightly different motivations. Serbian nationalists, anti-monarchists, and so on. But James Lyon says they never intended to start a global war.
By the time the trial started, the First World War had already broken out, and each and every one of them said at the trial and then later said during their imprisonment that had they known that such a horrendous war would ensue, they never would have taken part in the activities of June 28th.
Some of the conspirators were executed. Others died in prison. All but one are now buried just outside of Sarajevo's old city, next to a highway overpass. When I visited earlier this week, the gravesite had one dead rose. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Sarajevo.